Tick-tock. Tick-tock. We come from the earth. We live here. It is a finite system. Tick-tock. Now, at the very bottom of each of us, we have our individual, how do you decide things? What's important? How do you evaluate, I'm going to cut this tree or I'm going to build my house around this tree? I'm going to, whatever, I'm going to buy this product because I like this product. Or how do you decide what happens? And how do you make your decisions based on a situation where the Union of Concerned Scientists say in 1992, humans' ability to address global ecological threats and achieve sustainability will require a major transformation in the patterns of behavior at all levels and domains of human activity. The UCS warning and call for dramatic behavioral change can be interpreted as a call for new forms of culture. That's what I want to talk to y'all about. I live in Texas. My home congregation is the First UU Church of Austin. They said, tell y'all hey. There are people there that are hurrying up the destruction of the earth so the rapture will happen sooner. That is a moral choice that's affecting all their decisions and maybe some of the people in DC as well. That, yeah, it's fine because the earth's not as important as getting to heaven. Our wealth and power are more important. Our individual power, our human domination of the planet. So, you know, we hardly ever, not very many people do you hear having a conversation about, yeah, I'm having to kill all these ants. Did you all see that movie about the Dalai Lama where they're building a building in Tibet and they move all the ants? That's a different philosophical underpinning of their life, right? This Jewish theologian named Martin Buber, he lived in the early 20th century. He was born in the late 1800s. He talks about human relationships as I, thou, and I, it relationships. And I want to expand that a little bit to more sustainable, the concept of sustainable economies, ecologies, and cultures. That's an I, thou relationship. I respect all my relations, and everyone has equal respect. Bees, people, we're in a web of existence. And there are spiritual traditions that support that, and there are spiritual traditions that do not support that. And America was founded by people who are not that crazy about that. They might, at the best, believe in the stewardship of the earth. I think I have a Bible verse that'll help you with that. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. Genesis 9, verse 3. Wow. So think of all the thousands of concepts and decisions that were made like that led us to where we are now. As if the rapture's coming so we don't have to be concerned about running out of life. We're hurting the planet so that when we hand it over to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, that they get the same level that we have. I mean, I remember at being 10 and up in Minnesota on a canoe trip and being able to drink out of the water right there and not get any diseases and not with any special filters that you have to buy at REI. Just drinking the water. Wow. I think our ancestors would have no concept of what we are facing now. So I'm just asking you to just break it down and consider the possibility that we are all connected. And our individual decisions become community decisions, become national decisions, become global decisions. And we're affecting everything. You use premature with me on all this. Everybody kind of with me on this? Anybody want to argue later? Okay. So what can we do? We're in a great situation as you use. We're in a great situation where we don't actually, for the most part, almost everybody I've ever met that's a UU does not necessarily divide spirituality over here and science over here. They hang out in the same room. It doesn't matter if you're atheist, it doesn't matter if you're agnostic, it doesn't matter if you're Hindu, it doesn't matter if you're Buddhist. You can pretty much keep your science and your spirituality in the same room. We are very unique that way. So I think it's a charge to us. I want to make that charge that we need to create a moral compass, a way that people can understand in plain English. TikTok. We need to do things right now. And there are traditions and philosophies and religions from around the world that are useful and perhaps would be inspirational. And maybe we might want to take some of that old and make something new. I think tradition, this is my nerd part, okay? I wrote my cultural studies master's thesis on tradition and how you invent it. And basically, I know, it was long. So each generation hands this pot to the next generation, and it's made out of all kinds of things that are ancient and new and combinations that have never been made before. It's made anew every generation. And then the new generation takes the pot, looks at it, and goes, drops it. Thousands of pieces, and makes a new pot for the next generation. So what I'm asking for is you to consider possibilities of places that you could get inspiration and how we could make a pot that would be a sustainable I-thou relationship with the earth so that it's there for our kids and not gone. Just, I know it's, I'm a folk singer. I'm optimistic. I think it's possible. Yeah. And also, when I told my grandfather that I was going to be a singer-songwriter, he said, Kaya, you are a communist. So I don't want to waste a whole lot of time talking about Christianity and the paradigms and how it's interpreted and how that dominant thing has created an I-it culture, where we think as Americans that we can just use up a place and move to the next county and take the indigenous people's land and make a new place there. And then when we use that land up, we keep moving and then suddenly you're in California. Right? There's no way. As they said in the 70s, when I was a child, they said, we are all downstream. And it's so true. We are all downstream. There's no way. There's no place we can go. There's even space debris keeping us from getting out of the planet's atmosphere. So we're stuck here with each other. And each of us is indigenous in a certain way. I want you to use that concept. I'm not talking about cultural appropriation here. I'm talking about you came from people who were indigenous to the planet, who survived by their knowledge and their relationship with the earth. At some point in your past generations, it happened. And for the last 7 years, wherever you lived, you are made of that place right now. You are indigenous to this place. That is a radical idea in and of itself, right? So one of the places to look for inspiration is from your indigenous relations. One, Lakota say Miyasit Ochen, which means we are all related. And that's a really useful way of thinking of it. And science matches with this. So deep ecology is a place where science and spirituality have come together, utilizing belief system of indigenous people, in this particular case, Native Americans. So Sitting Bull said, Lakota leader and medicine man Sitting Bull said, every seed is awakened, and so is all animal life. It is through this mysterious power that we too have our being, and we therefore yield to our animal neighbors the same right as ourselves to inhabit this land. So for me, Aldo Leopold said it in a way that almost any American person who speaks English could understand. So I think this is a good start for a moral compass. A thing is right when it tends to preserve the integrity, stability, and beauty of the biotic community. It is wrong when it tends otherwise. So I-Val leads to sustainability and holistic integration of human beings with everything in nature, and will lead to handing it to our progeny in basically intact, maybe a little better than it was. That would be the goal. We're going to have to work hard, and we're going to have to hurry up. True? Yeah. Okay, so let's start there. And so the deep ecology movement was started by Arne Naess in 1973. It's a body of concepts that considers human no more important than other species, and that advocates for a corresponding radical readjustment of the relationships between humans and nature. It also promotes the inherent worth and dignity of all living things, regardless of their instrumental utility. That's our first principle, right? We just need to expand our sense of persons. And we're going to make mistakes, so we need to be pretty focused on really asking ourselves the hard questions. What is your ethical underpinning? What's your moral compass about decisions related to things outside of your body or in your body? What do you put in your body? This, you know, we can get down to ethical eating. Almost everything you do affects everything else. Do you buy your clothes from Walmart? Who is are sewing those clothes? And what 8-year-olds are sitting there making the dye? 8-year-olds. Yes. The more you know, the more you think about it on a global scale, we have a lot of work to do, and it's difficult. And you can't just build a wall and have these people on this side of the wall getting to have everything as much as they want without any kind of restraint. And these people over here are starving to death. I mean, I think I heard that at school talking about the fall of Rome, right? You know, there's no away, there is no downstream TikTok. Okay, so deep ecology, you can do it from a whole scientific point of view. There are philosophies, scientific philosophies, people who have kind of integrated that. There's a really brilliant woman in her 80s that lives in Berkeley that has taught at Stark King in the past, named Joanna Macy. Matthew Fox is doing this kind of work. He got kicked out of the Catholic Church for just the idea. You know, so there are people out there writing it. Deep ecology might be one stream that you might find some inspiration in. I want to talk about more indigenous religious traditions that are not necessarily supernatural in their belief. Like, what am I saying? Not a god out here that is doing it, but a Gaia system, like the earth being a living being, or that humans are part of this web of existence, and that it is, and the rules are all in nature. Taoism would be an example. Confucianist, especially older Confucianist belief about, you know, restraint and balance, those concepts, they go really well with a sustainable future. One that really interests me is I've gotten fascinated with Shinto, which is sort of the indigenous religion of Japan. Anybody have been to Japan? Did you think it was cool? Yeah. I haven't been yet, but I really want to go. And one of the things that people have told me is that, tell me if this is true, is that there aren't garbage cans everywhere, like you're supposed to take it home and deal with it yourself, right? What a concept. And the Shinto belief in kami, it's like a spirit. You know, English isn't very good for this. It's not a god like that has power that can do things to you, but it is powerful, and it is controlling water. A particular grove of trees might be a hero, might have kami, you know, an ancestor has kami. And so they're considered in all decisions. So if you go to Japan, the green space is Shinto or Buddhist temples. Interesting concept, right? And they're considering all the time, more finite, it's an island. You're thinking more in terms of that. Easter Island is a great place if you want to get a nonverbal sermon on misusing your resources. You'll end up with a bunch of stone heads and no trees and no food and no people. We don't want to be the Easter Island of planets, right? The last thing I want to tell you about that I'm particularly interested in is, having grown up a lesbian in the women's culture, I remember going to the Michigan Women's Music Festival. It's a separatist, only women-born women place, when I was 16. And I'm from Kentucky, so I saw things that I had never seen before. One of them was the Dianic Witches, Z Budapest, and they were worshiping the earth as a goddess, and a very feminine approach to witchcraft and to magic and to the earth and pagan. So they call it neo-pagan. Now, one of the people who came up from that is Starhawk. How many people are familiar with Starhawk? So Starhawk grew up in Minnesota and from Jewish heritage, and she got involved with the Dyadic people, and then she ran into the Andersons, who do the fairy, F-E-R-I, tradition, which is much more balanced of male and female. It's not as goddess-centric. And that developed, she developed, and then in the 80s, she and another witch started what's called Reclaiming Movement. The Reclaiming Movement, they are everywhere. Look them up online. They have camps, so they're involved in earth. And one of the things about the Reclaiming that I really like, it's not just a spiritual approach to the planet, but they also think that action is vital and has to happen right now. So what Starhawk's probably in her 60s now, Starhawk and some of her cohorts are doing earth activist training and permaculture training. So, and one of the things they focus on, which you can download from her website if you're interested, are very practical ways an individual person could heal a piece of land. Say, like, you have some a lot that you want to have a garden in that's had lead paint in it or whatever. There are actually mushrooms and other things that you can do, plants that will take the toxicity out and that don't cost a lot of money and that you can do on a personal or a small group level. And there's a whole book on the Reclaiming website of that. So I want to bring that, and it happened all right here in the Bay Area. Y'all are in the middle of it. We have Reclaiming Witches in Texas as well. And they're doing that international gatherings called Dandelion Gatherings, where this information is getting shared and people are stopping doing whatever they were doing. I mean, Starhawk's pretty much known for teaching witches. And she's basically shifted that to integrate her philosophy and her spirituality with saving the earth right now. So I hope that is inspiring in some of the directions you might be interested in. There's thousands and thousands more ways to be inspired by older traditions. But I think the I, thou, I, it will help you the most. I heard a really great speaker last week, Reverend Dr. Melanie Harris. She's a professor at Texas Christian University, Afro-American professor. She did her dissertation on Alice Walker and a womanist, if you know about that kind of thinking. And she wrote a book called Eco-Womanism. And so there's a ritual in the Eco-Womanism book that I wanted to read you just in this. She bows, like I'm bowing to you. I honor the earth, and I happily join you in the moves toward earth justice. I honor you. I honor the earth. I honor the earth within you. Ashe, amen, amin, and blessed be. Thank you. Mm-hmm.